Our lives are a gift. There is nothing that we have that we deserve. It is sheer grace. The givenness of things invites us to live our lives as gifts for others. It is by being gifts that we love our neighbors even as Christ loved us. That's it. The whole of my sermon is right there. Your life is a gift. You probably already know that, though, so we might as well call it a day and head home. That is, if knowing is what this is all about. In today's first lesson from Deuteronomy, the Israelites are commanded to observe a liturgy of first fruits at the central sanctuary with words they already knew. None of these statements was a newsflash. That wasn't the purpose. They were there to remember. They were there to remember whose people they were, what their history was, and how this shaped the way they ought to live. Remembering makes something a part of ourselves. Literally, it can mean to put together again, reverse the dismembering of. It is through our memories that we know who we are. Memories of people who loved us into being. Family tales of how we came to this country and overcame adversity. Stories we tell and retell even though we already know the ending. Our Deuteronomy text describes an event of communal remembering. It tells of all the people coming together again to remember what they already knew. In case there's any doubt about it, the proper name of the Lord appears 14 times in our reading. If this was a freshman writing class, the teacher would hand it back to the student with 14 big red circles on it and say, "Try again." In a novel, two characters can exchange dialogue back and forth for pages without restating their proper names. There's no need to repeat it because they already know it. They already know that the Lord is their God. He's the one who brought them up out of Egypt, after all. It's hard to forget a fact like that. Yet, the danger wasn't a matter of forgetting the facts. The danger was that they would stop remembering their reason for existence. This scene reminds me of what it's like to be in a group where two young people are in love. It can almost be nauseating hearing the repetition of their affections for one another. "I love you." "No, I love you." "Well, I love you more." One almost wants to interject, "Yes, you both love each other. You know, I know, we all know. Move on." Yet, the joy of the lovers delights in repetition. Even as a youngster delights in a childhood game. In The Ethics of Elfland, G.K. Chesterton writes, "Because children have abounding vitality, they are in spirit fierce and free. Therefore, they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, 'Do it again,' and the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exalt in monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exalt in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, 'Do it again,' to the sun, and every evening, 'Do it again,' to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. God is inviting His people to delight in the abounding vitality of a child who so loves the game he does not get tired of it. God is inviting His people to rejoice in their monotonous remembrance as two lovers who tire not of their affections. God invites His people to do more than know the Lord is your God, but to remember it. The biblical scholar Martin Buber describes the ancient scene of the Israelites celebrating this festival of first fruits. Their intention was to preserve something lost and past for the memory of future generations. We hear how the people came from the surrounding country to Jerusalem with first fruits, those living close at hand with fresh fruits, those far away with dried. In the early morning, the procession enters the city headed by pipers, then the sacrificial bowl with gilded horns, and behind it the men bearing baskets filled with fruits, garlanded with grapes, each according to his wealth, golden baskets, silver baskets, and baskets woven from stripped willow twigs. This festival was a ritual. In a society like ours, with fewer and fewer communal rituals, it can be difficult to grasp their meaning. The word ritualistic is often used pejoratively and associated with boredom or meaninglessness. However, Paul Connerton in How Societies Remember argues that images and recollected knowledge of the past are conveyed and sustained by ritual performances, and that performative memory is bodily. It is through our bodies, performing memorized steps, rote motions, and repeated phrases, that we incorporate these truths into our very being. In the ballet world, professionals will spend close to 160 hours, that's nearly 7 days straight, preparing for the performance that we see in one evening. Jennifer Ringer of the New York City Ballet writes in The Guardian, "With enough repetition, the music is inevitably linked by some mysterious connection to our muscle memory, so that eventually we don't have to think about the steps. Our bodies know what to do, leaving our brains free to give flight to our imaginations in performance." It is only through this repetition that the ballerina transformed the hours of practice into the art we all see. It is through enough repetition of hymns and creeds, kneeling and crossing, that the truths we all know begin to sink into the very members of our bodies. In remembering this story, it is not enough to know who it is about, but what it is about. The what of this story is that our lives are a gift. Deuteronomy 26 has a penchant for repetition. The name the Lord is repeated 14 times. The language of gifting or receiving occurs 7 times. In 26:1, "When you enter the land the Lord is giving you," 26:2, "Bring from the land the Lord is giving to you," 26:3, "I've entered the land the Lord swore to give to us," 26:6, "The Egyptians gave us hard service," 26:9, "The Lord brought us to His place and gave us this land," 26:10, "I brought the first fruits you have given to me," and finally 26:11, "You shall celebrate the bounty the Lord has given to you." the entirety of their story is remembered as a gift. From beginning to end, there's nothing they did to deserve any of it. There is nothing they can claim as having accomplished by their own might. 3 times the land is remembered as being a gift from God. 3 times their crops, tended by the sweat of their brow, are acknowledged as gifts from God. Even their hard service was given by the Egyptians. This is not a recital of the glories of Rome nor feel-good 4th of July Day speech. It is admitting that so much of our lives is out of our control. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. The only positive claim to their existence is that they had been wandering like a lost sheep. Once they were lost and now found. Amazing grace is a gift we do not deserve. But how does this remembrance change anything? Arguably, the Israelites' crop yield would have been the same whether or not they offered the first fruits to the Lord. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, the sun rises and falls on the righteous and unrighteous alike. By most metrics, you could not tell a Christian apart from her neighbor. We marry or not, buy homes or rent, are employed or unemployed, much like people from comparable family backgrounds, education levels, and zip code, do without remembering these stories. Why then go to all the trouble of learning the steps, of putting in countless hours like a ballerina preparing to perform? It can seem that life can simply be lived knowing the right things without the trouble of remembrance. I'm often struck by question 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, a Reformed confession. It asks, what is your only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It is only by remembering that we are not our own, that we are freed from captivity to our anxieties of performance. It is not about us doing enough, having a bumper crop, getting a raise, or earning that promotion. All we have and all we ever will have is a gift. It is all grace. In our text, after they remembered that this life is a gift, this invitation was given. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and your house. Even so, we are invited to celebrate by coming forward to the altar laden with gifts for you. The Lord says to us, come, the table is ready. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen.